In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My family and I are enjoying living in the rectory right across the driveway. It is a beautiful space. There's room for all of our books, and there are two bathrooms. Being a family with two teenage children and coming from an apartment in Seattle with one bathroom, this is a great improvement. It is a beautiful space that you have created for us to live in, and your care for your future rector was obvious in your recent remodeling. It makes us feel loved and cared for to live there. So thank you. We're still settling in over there. If you're at the open house, you might have noticed that we didn't have a lot of pictures on the walls yet. Some of our stuff was still in boxes. It takes a while to find yourself in a new place, doesn't it? It takes a while to pull all the artifacts out of the boxes and to put them in their places and to figure out how they fit in that new space. And yet, those artifacts, those photos, those knickknacks, the whatever it might be, the books, those things are important because they tell the story of who we are. They tell the story of who we have been in the past, what our goals are, where we're going in the future, and we bring those things with us from place to place. That's why it's so fascinating to go visit other people's homes, isn't it? When we first came here and we had the meet and greets and went to several of your homes and had others in to meet them, a lot of the interest was just in seeing the homes. I love going and looking at what's on a person's bookshelf. You know, what are they interested in reading? So our possessions help tell the story of who we are, and they help us to remain self-possessed, even when the hardships of life would tell us a different story. All those artifacts are a reminder, oh yeah, that's who I am. That's the bigger story than this temporary setback. Now, our gospel reading today finds Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, wandering around the towns and villages of Galilee, proclaiming the kingdom of God is here. And as Jesus did that, he and his disciples had this way of healing people, bringing wholeness to people, helping people to find themselves and to become aware of their identity as God's beloved. Jesus helped people to recognize that their own stories were the story of God's perfect love. Everywhere he went, Jesus told people, "Blessed are you, you who are hungry, you who are poor, you who are hurt, you who are lonely, you who thought you were left out, blessed are you because the kingdom of God is for you." People were attracted to Jesus' presence because they were hungry to know God's perfect love, to know that they were accepted, to know that they were citizens of the kingdom of God. Now, the writer of Mark's gospel describes what Jesus was doing as casting out demons. We read in verse 22 of today's reading, "The scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, 'He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons.'" This, by the way, is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, right? This is the context in which that passage occurs. Preferring to call evil good and good evil, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's what these religious leaders were doing. Now, Mark and everyone talked about Jesus casting out demons, and that verbiage doesn't seem to make a lot of sense for you and I, right? I, at least, don't tend to walk around talking about demons. I get odd looks if I try it. You know, we talk about demons, but they're kind of in the same status as zombies or superheroes. Right, they're appropriate for comic books or major motion pictures, but not so much for real life. And yet demons are an apt metaphor for some of the difficulties we encounter in life. And so last week, Deacon Kathy preached, and she talked about recovery. And she talked about the liberty that God invites us to enjoy. And especially God invites those who have been enslaved by the demons of alcoholism or drug addiction. Sometimes we speak of mental illness or depression, whether in ourselves or others, as demons that act on us against our own will and our own desire. It was St. Paul who said, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. Sometimes we speak of demons as the traumas and injustices of the historical past. Those things that happened maybe even before our time, but still somehow have potency in the present. Sometimes we talk about demons of our own special burdens, those challenges of life that we carry forward from our earlier experiences. And in all these instances, demons are those things that alienate us from ourselves and from one another. They're things that separate us. Now the crowds gathered around Jesus because he was bringing to them something that they needed. When they experienced the presence of Jesus, what they were experiencing was life in the kingdom of God, a life of connection, a life of leaving behind those demons of alienation, those demons of separation, and instead being joined together. Alienation, separation from God, from community, from neighbors, from family, from self. We have a word for that in the church, don't we? We have a technical term. We call it sin. Sin is separation from God, from self, from others. And so casting out demons, casting out that separation, that casting out that alienation is what church is all about. Now at St. Thomas, we like to eat together, I've learned. We like to share meals. We also, I've figured out, we have lots of committee meetings. We also do lots of works of compassion, of service to others, like Kitchen of Hope yesterday. And yet all these things, eating and committee meetings and compassionate work, these aren't the essence of church. These are the fruit of church. But the essence of church is what we do inside those meals, within those committee meetings, as we serve others. That essence is about being in relationship, about being connected. The essence of creating a community like that which Jesus and his disciples created is to be a safe and hospitable place for everyone to bring who they really are, to bear their hurts, and to find compassion and healing. As we learn to deal with each other tenderly and lovingly and gently and compassionately, other people will continue to be attracted to who we are, because everybody's looking for that. We are all looking to be received in that tender, healing way. And so what we are doing Sunday after Sunday is we are creating a hospital, a place for broken people to come and to find acceptance and to find healing. This right here, right now, is a weekly meeting of Sinners Anonymous. Hi, my name is Todd, and I'm a sinner. I experience alienation from God, from my community, from my neighbors, from my family, from myself. And I need help with that. And it's the church that responds, yeah, we can help with that. Come on in. Today we're marking the end of our Sunday school season. And so our 10 o'clock service will be over in Children's Church. And then we'll recognize our teachers and our students. And in Sunday school, we are doing the work of Christ. We are being Jesus' hands. And so for those who have been teaching or assisting with Sunday school, we owe a great debt of gratitude and appreciation because they're expressing the core of what it means to be church. More than any other institution or any other community on earth, the church was designed and intended to be a place of encounter with the healing power of Jesus. The church was designed to be a place of life and community, a place where alienation is cast out. So how do we define what activities should take place on our campus? How do we decide how we're going to spend our money as a community? Everything we do is meant to help other people, to help all people to know more clearly the healing grace of Christ and the perfect love of God. And when the things we do align with that aim, we know we're probably on the right track. And when the things we do maybe aren't quite there, that might be kind of a frill, an extra, that we need to cast aside and concentrate on what's most important. So, I don't go around talking about demons very much. That's just kind of weird. But at church, what we are doing is the work of settling in to the kingdom of God, just like settling into a new home. In church, we are reminding each other of our story. We are keeping each other in mind of God's love for us, even and especially during the hard things in life. When we experience sadness or hurt or disappointment, we remind each other that God's story for us is bigger and more eternal. And in the end, we are defined not by a story of pain, but by the story of God's love. That means more than just hanging pictures on the wall. It means our actions and the ways that we love one another. This is the work of the church. This is our spiritual act of worship. This is our work. Beloved, let us love one another. Because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Amen?
Amen.